Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?
Three, two, one. All right. Welcome on back to another edition of the Baltimore Beatdown Podcast. It is Thursday night, January 5th, 2023. My name is Jake Luke, and I am joined on my screen here in the Zoom chat meeting by Spencer Nathaniel Schultz. It's making me feel a little nostalgic here on the Zoom client. Didn't think we'd ever be coming back to these days, but here we are.
That 2023, I think, caught you by surprise until the last second. You were about to autopilot back into 22.
Yeah, that was a bit that I got to be 100% honest. I totally took that 2022 thing from Bill Burr. So, you know, when I listen to his podcast, that's going to be tough for me because he did it way better than I did. And that was always put a little bit of a pep in my step. So I hate that for me.
There you go.
But yeah, we are in the Zoom meeting. It's been a little while. We left that game on Sunday night, and I don't even know if we really talked about it, but I was just so fucking disgusted after that game. Definitely wasn't going to do a recap that night. I think we didn't wind up doing it on Monday. I don't know if we had a reason for that either. And then I was just like, you know, let's just do a Tuesday night after the division has been decided, or we know what the stakes are going to be for this coming game. So unfortunately, that is not how things played out at all, because we had the DeMar Hamlin situation happen, which I think we didn't want to. For a lot of reasons, you know, that kind of took away our, with the game stopping and
essentially, nobody was really worried about much other than that.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody,
any team or anything for at least a full 24 hours.
Yeah, nobody's worried about the AFC North or the Ravens or anything like that. And then, like, it's just like, that's a situation where we didn't know what was going on at the time. I really wouldn't have been equipped to say anything. There's not a whole lot you can say other than it's absolutely terrible and we're praying like hell for him. And thankfully, as of tonight on Thursday night, it sounds like things are taking a turn for the better for him, coming to consciousness, asking who won the game and stuff like that. It's turning into a nice little uplifting story, I think. So that is very good to see. A couple days off, like I said, that Sunday night game, I don't think anyone was really in the mood to like listen to a podcast about that. I know I certainly wasn't. I kind of tend to go dark after losses, but I guess just to quickly touch on it, I was just, it just felt like that. It made me realize, like, we know exactly what this team is when Tyler Huntley is under center. It's the same game every time, and the difference of two or three plays that he makes or does not make seems to be the deciding factor between a two-point loss or a two-point win. And that was one of the losses. And probably the last home game in that stadium this year, it just left a very bitter taste in my mouth being there. So,
yeah, it was tough. And like you said, the Ravens' general, and it gets much deeper than this, but their general overarching strategy is do not let up any explosive pass plays. Do not put the game into Tyler Huntley's hands. Avoid that at all costs. And when they lose, it's because they end up having to, because they can't be the one that kicks that extra field goal or two or scores that one touchdown to be able to. In this one, it has the ball back 55 seconds. In today's NFL, entirely reasonable to be able to get to the 40-yard line or the 35-yard line with 55 seconds, go kick a field goal. Throws just a boneheaded errant pick. They were very scared of TJ Watt late and were trying to have likely, you know, give him as much time as possible, all those kinds of things. And it just really feels like the book's out. And I think on the broadcast, which I haven't watched, but apparently Chris Collinsworth was really going out of his way to say, you know, Tyler Huntley is a one read quarterback. And I think that's really apropos. And it's just been a struggle to watch. And the Ravens are trying to play in these games where they limit possessions. They did get a little bit ahead of themselves a couple weeks ago against the Browns, threw the ball a little bit too much. They talked about that afterwards. They tried to think outside that box just a touch, you know, dip their foot into that pool. It didn't go well, so they dialed it back yet again. They ran the ball somewhat successfully until the Steelers decided to start putting, you know, five defensive linemen in bare fronts and start to take that away a little bit and really crashing on it. TJ Watt made two big plays that really bit them. But in the end, you know, they get off the field once, they get off the field twice defensively, and then lo and behold, you know, Kenny Pickett comes out, does exactly what Ben Roethlisberger did to the Ravens last year, right around this time. They have the exact same score happen. Kenny Pickett, I think, has thrown like six touchdowns now, and he is clutch, it appears. I think he has had back-to-back weeks with throwing that last-second touchdown, but the Ravens all night were really playing these two high split safety looks, and they were bailing out of it at times, but giving up the middle of the field, and Pickett wasn't able to do much with it. Has one incompletion where Deontay Johnson couldn't get 2 feet down, you know, down the sideline. Really the only success Pickett had the entire night was when they couldn't contain him, and he would break the pocket, throw across his body a little bit. He had one to Freiermuth and one to Warren and one here and there, and, you know, poking them down the field just enough to be able to kick a couple field goals and what have you. And then makes an awesome throw to Steven Sims up the seam, and then breaks the pocket yet again and throws one to Najee Harris. Harris just kind of was like a decoy motion and noticed that Pickett was scrambling, breaks for the end zone, and Pickett it's just an undefensible throw and catch to a running back on a like delayed, you know, breakout scramble drill. So just of course, and you know, that's where not having Lamar hurts. It feels like in those losses to the Browns and to the Steelers, he can get you to 20 points. You'll score 19, 20, 23, 24, 27 against these teams. The Panthers, you know, held them to 13 and have been a tough out the last few weeks here. But ultimately, you know, can get you into that 20-point range pretty much no matter what. And if you're on the wrong end of it with Tyler Huntley in and can't be the 13 over the 10 or the 14 or the 15, you know, then you're just not going to win. And it's really just asking your defense to be perfect. It's really unfortunate to see. You know, I haven't really made much of a fuss about the defensive efforts in the fourth quarter and things of that nature. But at some point, can't you just fucking do it all the way through? It just is, as you know, as a fan, it's unfortunate. Again, Pickett makes two awesome throws, one over Kyle Hamilton, one over Roquan Smith. They come down with the football. It's 3rd and 8, but it's just like, Jesus fucking Christ. Can't a ball get tipped? Can't something happen? It's like the never-ending show of bullshit late in the fourth quarter. So I think a lot of people are pretty have had their heart pressure rise and fall enough from the events of the fourth quarter. It has not been their year in the fourth quarter. That'll be one of the stamped stories on this 2022 Ravens team. And we watched it for the last time this season. It feels like it always happens at home as well. It happens so often at home. And it's, you know, you can say what you want to say about it, but, you know, fix it. You got to fix it. But it's like, what does that mean? Like, in the scale of things, Pickett made big throws. They weren't getting pressure on him, I guess. You could have blitzed him a little bit more. And then it's, why the fuck did we fire Wink? We're just going to keep blitzing. So it's just, you know, through blood, fire, piss, vinegar, and spit and tears, they can't just like completely smother someone through and through and through and through to the end. Even against the Steelers a couple weeks ago, you know, they let up a late touchdown to make it a ball game super late. So it sucks. It's shitty. It left a lot of piss taste in people's mouths, and understandably so. I think that they approached that game correctly. They really kind of were like, okay, you can have your 5-yard rushes for the most part. We're just not going to let you throw it over our heads once, and didn't let them. And then, you know, they needed fucking Huntley or someone offensively to make one play in the fourth quarter, pretty much one offensive play, and they couldn't. So, you know, you can go back and critique things. One of the things that stuck out to me when I was watching the game back that I don't really think requires a lot of ingenuity, but it is a hindsight thing. It's like, okay, the Steelers are getting in these bare fronts, these 5 and 6 man heavy fronts. Shit, you've got 3-4 tight ends that can catch the ball pretty well. If you go in heavy personnel, what are they going to do? Match you in that front, then go do what you used to do and go spread those tight ends out, stretch that defensive line out, see if you can make them feel a little anxious, spread the field out some. And instead, they're like, all right, we'll just run counter into, you know, 7-man fronts and 5-man freaking actual fronts. And Steelers were all over it. And, you know, it's just a joint failure to get the first down here or there. After the Justice Hill kick return, it was just ridiculous. You can have the ball in the 40 and can't get to the fucking 35. Isaiah Likely drops a ball to get you to the 35 on third down and, you know, gets hit, drops a football. And, you know, maybe they still let up a touchdown. Maybe they lose in overtime, but just really couldn't make the one play. Justice Hill made the play for you and you couldn't like make a half of an effort to get into field goal range from field goal range pretty much.
That's kind of where the apathy starts to set in for me a little bit with this team right now, where like I'm usually not this person at all, but it's just like, man, like it just feels so futile with this offense in particular, and to the defense too, to an extent, because like they do get worn out, but it's also like, hey, just make one fucking play on one of these drives, these drives that you're getting killed on late in the game. And yeah, I mean, the Justice Hill not converting that just felt like a death knell for any idea that Tyler Huntley is like going to be some sort of starter in any capacity in this league. It feels like he's just extremely limited, and it's been so tough to watch. And it's you know, you mentioned the idea of them making a few more plays or even being a dominant team, and like I don't even think they necessarily would be dominant if this were the case. And like one of the things that, to the point, like one of the things that makes it feel a little bit more futile is it does feel like, and I know people don't want to hear this and I'm getting tired of hearing it too, but it does feel like injuries are still a big part of what's dogging this team. Like you're missing Calais Campbell. They run all over you. You're missing Marcus Peters. You make a couple big plays through the air. And then obviously you're missing Lamar Jackson and you're missing your top two wide receivers with this offense, and things just are completely shut down with the passing attack. And then they're doing some weird things with the rushing attack that makes them not completely effective. And yeah, like to your point, I wish they would have done some more unconventional things, maybe spread them out and then put J.K. Dobbins in the pistol and get him moving with the ball in his hands going into a not so crowded area. I would have liked to see that. I would have liked to see Gus Edwards get involved, who John Harbaugh just seemed completely perplexed that Gus Edwards didn't get involved. Jeez, I wonder who's wearing the hot dog.
Well, I mean, what's he supposed to say? Like, no, we're fine. Don't put him in. Like,
I know, fucking, I know, I know.
Like, all right, well, J.K. never gets 15 carries, but Gus needed more carries.
I know.
They really were all over. And Gus Edwards always struggled to be, you know, anything dangerous in the pass game until right before his injury. But it's like, what the fuck is he supposed to say?
I get it. And I
love John. Yeah, we wish we got him involved more.
I get it. And I love John, but it's just the optics of like, oh man, I really wish that had happened. Well, it's like, yeah, man, like I'm with you. It kind of feels like you maybe could have done so. It's the hot dog, I think you should leave guy. Like we're all trying to find the guy who did this. So people have to get their jokes off. I'll be one of those people. And it all kind of just feels futile right now with Lamar Jackson out. I also kind of struggle with the idea that like, what is it even going to look like when Lamar Jackson comes back? We had a report come out today and people were really starting to lose their shit, myself included a little bit, conflating it with his contract. I think I understand where that speculation comes from, but you know, there was the speculation when Harbaugh wouldn't comment on the fact that he wasn't practicing again or yet yesterday. And people starting to get worried, like, is this just last year all over again? He's never going to play for the team again this year. And then there's, you know, a possibility, a likelihood that he is going to be traded away, tagged and traded. And that's going to be that. I mean, I understand where it's all coming from. And like, I'm feeling some of these emotions right now. Logically, like, I expect him to come back for the playoffs. I probably expected him to before the Rappaport report came out today, where it said that's what they expect too. And yeah, I guess we'll see what happens. But it sounds like he is going to be shutting it down for another week, which at this point is probably the right move with the fact that the AFC North has all been but locked up by the Bengals. It sounds like they're going to make that game a no contest. They will finish with, I don't know if it'll be a tie or what, but I think that it does lock things up for them as far as the division goes. And then that moves you forward into this game where you're going to be without Jackson. And it kind of becomes the question of like, what do you even do? Do you play anyone in this game? You're playing for wild card seeding essentially. And I think it comes down to 5 or 6. And I don't know. It just feels like it will be hard to win this game with Tyler Huntley to begin with. So do you even just like sit him and go to Anthony Brown, as you were talking about on Twitter a little bit? Do you not even bother playing Campbell and Peters? This game is going to have a weird, weird tenor to it. And it kind of is maybe one of the the first examples of sort of this too big to fail thing with the NFL, where we get to a week 18 and things are just completely meaningless. I know it was kind of a an insane scenario that put us here, but yeah, it's just, I don't know what to make of this game.
It's a meaningless game for all intents and purposes. If the Bengals are given the division through, you know, what happened ensuing the Bills and Bengals game, then there's no possible reason not to rest your guys and reward guys who play special teams and do all of that stuff. I don't know. To me, seeding and who you're playing, what you're doing in a game where you might be able to win it anyway or might not, and like the juice isn't worth the squeeze there in that one. So looking for this one to just have them have a strong effort on special teams and maybe develop any sort of fucking rhythm, getting the wide receivers the football intentionally and throwing the ball around the yard a little bit, letting, you know, Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins maybe work into the passing game a little bit could help you, are things that feel valuable just a touch. But at the same time, how many, you know, do you want to risk one of those guys going down at this point as well? But I don't know. I can go into a whole wormhole. If they're going to get hurt, they're going to get hurt. Like, I don't know. But it's not really leaving a lot of meat on the bone for me. I know that's not super exciting, but it is still your divisional rival. You would love to finish 4-2 in the division. We'll see what the Bengals do. I mean, maybe they have really no interest in trying to play that many guys and give them a little more time, or hey, maybe they have the exact opposite attitude and are like, we need to get these guys back into the game. They just had a traumatic event that they witnessed in person and want to get them involved. So somewhat numb week 18, but hey, at least it's not, you know, them fighting against the Bengals for a playoff spot and the Bengals, you know, fighting for the one seed or something of the sort, where both teams are still going for the old college try and have their, you know, hats out for each other. Maybe this is a game where you can let Adafe Owe get into a more traditional role, get some reps in, things of that nature. But if I'm calling the shots, I'm resting a lot of guys, letting them get a couple reps here or there, suit up, you know, go feel a little contact, and then get those younger guys some experience. Let Brandon Stevens play another full game and Ardarius Washington. Let Kyle Hamilton maybe go patrol deep a little bit more so. Some of those things. So really just not a ton to say on that one. The season as a whole is where, you know, get hit in the final home stretch. It does feel unfortunate that this, you know, 10-6, 11-6, whatever the fuck they are team, you know, everybody's sour on them, down on them, all of those kinds of things. But ultimately, making the playoffs, I think, is something that this fan base takes for granted, very much so, and continues to, has not just in the Lamar Jackson era or Twitter or whatever. It's really existence of the Baltimore sports media fan, as far as I can remember, listening to post games on 98 Rock when I was, you know, 10 years old. The first time I ever called into a radio station, I was like 11, and I was after a home loss. I think the Ravens lost to the Bengals, and someone was like saying, like, you know, the fans are better, blah, 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 blah. I called it and I was like, I just can't take this anymore. You know, they had a winning record. They're headed towards the playoffs or whatever. I think they're first in their division even. And I was just like, I don't know where fans get off. Or I probably didn't say that when I was 11, but I was like, I don't know. I think my mom told me to use the word fickle as I
called
it.
Where do you get off?
Yeah, I think I used the word fickle, very fickle fans. And I think it's a result of them making the playoffs so often. It's like, you know, I don't want to say anything too dirty, but when you dip your toe in the water the first time, you're like, oh, wow, this is awesome. And then 30th time, you're like, eh, whatever. So it's general expectations, or, you know, the thing that releases the little endorphins to you and serotonin the 30th time doesn't feel like the first time. So I think it's a good problem to have, that getting into the playoffs doesn't get it done for you as a fan anymore. But nonetheless, it's exciting. It's a lot fucking better than watching Wild Card Weekend not being in the playoffs, which happened last year, and having a sick feeling and the embarrassment of that entire reality. So I think, you know, while this team sounds like they think they're going to get Lamar Jackson back, and really to pull the curtain back a little bit, I mean, this is what it feels like throughout the entire Lamar Jackson situation. It feels like, sure, maybe Lamar Jackson's not the 5 a.m. to, you know, 10 p.m. quarterback that we think every single quarterback has to be a robot and has to go in and do all of those things. And we do have our boy Banks that, you know, last year he said there's things going on inside the castle that would make your head spin. And one of those things, I'm not going to dive into, you know, his basket of eggs, but one of the things that he felt comfortable enough to share was that Lamar Jackson didn't really show up to get treatment last year after his ankle injury. And can you fucking blame him? The team is crumbling around him. He has no offensive line. He's running for his life. And it felt like no matter, you know, the defensive injuries they had, it was like the writing was on the wall. What is the point there? You know, look at how RG3 had an injury that turned it, or had a pretty bad hurt. I think it was even a sprained knee in RG3's case, his rookie year, that turned into a severe injury. So last year it was like, all right, you know, you can jump down his throat for that. Sure, I get it. But nonetheless, you know, Steve McNair, guys like that, you hear all these stories. Some guys fucking sleep during practice. Sometimes Glenn Clark tells us, you know, guys are going home and getting high and playing Madden, skipping practice. I don't think it's that fucking serious to miss a couple, you know, a week of practice or two longer if when he's hurt and trying not to be injured. So I think that, and a couple of people said this on the timeline today, that it feels like because the Ravens are the Pentagon, they are the CIA, they are Fort Knox, they never let anything get out, ever. They run a tight ship there. They don't really let local reporters get much. You know, they'll give Jeff or Jameson a morsel here or there, but it's usually always Ian. And who was probably feeding Ian the stuff about, oh, it's not contract related, it's injury related, and all these things, is probably Eric DaCosta. So it's made this whole big fucking fuss. But because they have nothing to bite on, there's nothing to fill their saliva, they're like, oh, well, Lamar Jackson, you know, might not be the fucking robot that, you know, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady are, or whatever those things are. And sure, those guys are great, and that's what it takes to be great, but it's just not that big of a fucking deal. He's a really good quarterback. And because there's nothing else to chew on, they start, you know, picking up dandelions and eating those. And there has to be a story somewhere. So, you know, the stuff about him not showing up for treatment did get me kind of pissed at one point, and some of the things that were being said, but just really don't think it's that big of a fucking deal. If he, you know, takes an extra week or two, whatever. But if that's the case and he doesn't feel the need to play in the playoff game, you know, that would change how I personally feel and some things of that nature. But it's just kind of, you know, I think it's a muddy situation as a result of the Ravens not really letting much out. Lamar Jackson doesn't have an agent to let things out. So I don't know. It feels like it's been overblown, overhyped, and all those things.
Yeah. And I've had my share of frustrations with it, but guys, like, let's go easy on John at the podium here. Like, you know, and like, I know no one's going to, or at least the people that aren't going to, aren't going to listen to this and then start going to.
It's called coach speak for a reason.
Yeah. And it's like, he's in a really tough spot with this. Like, and he might have his thoughts or whatever. He's not going to put his thoughts out there if he thinks one way or the other. And he's not going to, like, it's for tactical reasons for one thing, but I don't even think it's that. Like, if Lamar is like doing things his own way, or like not getting treatment or whatever it is, which it doesn't even sound like that's the case this year, then like the team's not going to put it out there, A, not only to hurt like negotiations or whatever that, like, or to hurt value or anything like that, but it's just like, they're a good organization. Like, they do right by their players. I know nobody wants to hear positive stuff about them right now, but they have always been commended for that kind of stuff. And it's because it's the truth. Cliches are cliche for a reason, and you get tired of hearing this kind of stuff, and nobody wants to hear positive stuff about the team right now. And I'm a little bit tired of it in some respects too, but like, it is a impossible situation that they're in right now. And it's a tough situation for Lamar too. Like, you're fucking right, he wants to be out there. He didn't want to get hurt. Like, nobody wants to get hurt. He wants to be out there doing his job, being with his teammates, you know, having fun. He's on the sidelines during games, during very cold games. Like, I don't know. Like, I understand like things get sensationalized, and I've been getting swept up in it at certain points, maybe more so than I used to, because it just, it does kind of feel like deja vu all over again. But one thing I do have to remind myself is this is a lot better than things were last year at this time, when they were in the exact same situation and they crumbled. And now you've got warring sharps of the world and all the fucking know-it-alls going on Twitter and saying, oh, the Ravens don't work without Lamar Jackson because the offense, they went 3-2 without him thus far. Like, it's, you know, it's not that crazy. And like, guess what? Most teams, my guy Shanny being maybe the one exception this year, most teams aren't going to work without their starting quarterback and without their top two wide receivers and all the fucking deluge of injuries that they've been dealing with the last couple of years. It's unprecedented. They had no injury issues in 2019, nothing to speak of, no problems. They have been paying the goddamn piper ever since. And I don't know why the football gods had to zero in on them, because they didn't get anything out of 2019 anyway. But here's where we are. That's what happened.
Yeah, people are sick of it. I think a lot of people are frustrated because they felt that, you know, they would have won it following 2019, expectations very high. You know, you're going to get a Super Bowl out of me, Baltimore, believe that. And so that was what they set their expectations to. And we started talking about, you know, making the playoffs isn't even a big deal. And It's because you've imagined in your head that that's what will take place. They will be playing in the Super Bowl. You know, they played in the divisional round twice. And I just don't understand. A team like the Bills has accomplished tangibly nothing different from the Ravens, save, you know, what I think they've won their division every year. Excusing that.
And the rebuttal to this, too, the rebuttal to this, too, that I always love is like when you say that and then somebody's like, oh, we have higher expectations because we're a better organization. And then you try to say like, okay, well, then go be a Jets fan. And they're like, well, the Jets are a poverty franchise. All they care about is making the playoffs. That's not really the point we're trying to make. The point is that they're in the playoffs like almost every year. And like the Jets do not do that. A lot of teams don't do that. And like, it's pretty impressive. And yeah, they missed it for a couple years in a row there with bad back Flacco. But other than that, they've just kind of made it work year in and year out. And that is something you should not take for granted as a fan. I'm telling you, the Jets have made the playoffs, what, two times this century? Like, that's fucking crazy. Like, two times. Like, and they're not the only one. Look at the Browns. Similar situation. The Lions, I think they made it once. Like, it's just, and yeah, like, poverty franchise, what, whatever. But, like, compared to that, like, you look at the Ravens, they've been there, what, I don't know, almost 10 times this century, probably more. So, it's crazy.
Well, no one cares about the past and yada, 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 so off and so forth. There's just a meteor coming of the Ravens losing in the playoffs and maybe scraping one win by, depending on who they play and what happens, and then people just crashing back down in a month-long shit fest, fire this person, fire that person, arguing about Lamar, all of those things. And I'm here to tell you, you can just not do that.
It's true. You could opt out. And I think I probably will need to opt out a little bit. I think there are certain points of the season where I've taken all of this in stride very well, and I think that's probably when I was least on the Bird app. And yeah, I think that's kind of really what the thing that's maybe warping my frame of mind a little bit with this stuff, and maybe just stay away from it. But you know, I also think there are legitimate complaints. There are maybe some things that need to be changed a little bit. Nothing too drastic, but you know, you take a look at it and you be level headed, and you do a self, you know, self scout thyself and figure it out. But yeah, I don't know. It's just it's been not a pleasant ride here the last couple of weeks, to say the least. And when that inevitable playoff loss does come, it'll kind of be like, I'll be like Lenny at the end of Mice and Men a little bit, and kind of just accept my fate, because it'll be a merciful situation.
It'll, be a better situation in that essence as well, to let him shoot you in the back of the head there, I think. But at this point, hopefully they do get Lamar Jackson back. Hopefully they do give somebody a good run for their money this game. You know, we don't have a ton for you, because again, I don't really think it matters all too much. So not high quality content for you there. But with that being said, this offseason, the Ravens will need to shuffle some things around. Absolutely. Greg Roman has to go at this point. You can't. It's just the Albert Einstein that every single football coach quotes, the definition of insanity. You gotta change something eventually. If it's too late, if Lamar Jackson doesn't want to take part in it, you know, I think it's more money related than anything else. But at the end of the day, this whole sphere of since his injury, it feels like wins don't matter and losses matter a lot. And I don't really understand that kind of mind frame, but making the playoffs is no small feat. Dragging yourself with a quarterback that Chris Collinsworth would describe as a one read quarterback.
I'll tell you what, Mike, you flush him out to the right, and Minka Fitzpatrick coming back across the middle, going to make a big play here, and it's very tremendous to see, and I would trick them.
You can never count out those Yinzers.
Tell you what, Al, these terrible towels waving in the stadium, a beautiful tribute to Myron Cope. Let's see what we got going on.
If you thought Mike Tomlin was going to have a losing season, you better count your lucky stars.
Oh, I love me some Chris, but I'm glad I was not watching the game on TV for that reason, because I would have all the platitudes that would have just washed over me and just completely drowned me then and there. That would have been a little bit too much for your boy to take on an otherwise pretty painful night.
It most certainly would have. So at this point, looking forward, if they do get Lamar Jackson back, you hope that they can play that race to 20 game, that your defense can continue holding teams to one touchdown and a couple field goals, and you know, keeping you in the damn thing. And then Lamar Jackson can go make some plays at the end of a game. Maybe you win one. Heck, maybe you mess around and win two. I don't think the Ravens are quitting on themselves. I think that they're, you know, going to continue banging their head against the door, no matter how thick the door is. So I think it's a good week to maybe take a step back, take a breath.
Take a step back. Don't play a lot of guys in this game. Take a step back. Don't play a lot of guys in this game. And if Lamar's leg like is good, if he's at like 90%, I think this will be like, I'm interested to see what happens in this playoff game, I guess, depending on the opponent. Very intrigued to see, but I don't know. It could be a situation where you talk about rest.
It's looking like the Chiefs are the most likely situation, the Bengals are the most likely situation.
Yeah, if you want to talk about rest versus rust a little bit, like, I don't know, like maybe just taking a fucking month off when he wasn't playing that well and things were just, there was already a general malaise setting in.
He'd been on the injury report.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, maybe he takes a month off, 6 weeks off, just kind of clears his head a little bit, come back in the most high-stakes playoff or high-stakes environment you can be in, and maybe you just fucking send it a little bit and let it rip. I think that's, you know, I'm not expecting success, but that's kind of an exciting little prospect to me.
It most certainly is. So my opinion, it's going to be Ravens at Bengals, round three against a quite formidable opponent. They have DJ Reader back. They have Trey Hendrickson, I believe, playing with a club, and we'll see a little taste of them. They obviously just went through a pretty tragic situation. Can't even imagine seeing someone get resuscitated on the field. That's something I've never experienced personally, and really can't even remember seeing on TV or in a game. Or
yeah, shout out to T. Higgins. He's got to be going through a lot right now.
Yeah, he looked pretty beat up, and people have had some just stupid comments that aren't even worth mentioning about him. But with that, you know, the Ravens are 7-point underdogs here. We'll see how that unfolds, but exactly that, man. I mean, I do truly believe that with Lamar Jackson and why they should pay him at the end of the day, even if he's not, you know, Mr. OD, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, whatever quarterback you want to think of that, you know, is addicted to the grind and a freaking hardo or whatever, they can win any game. The Ravens can win any game. They have a good defense. And with Lamar Jackson, they can win any game. Can they win, you know, four games against playoff opponents? I don't think so. I haven't thought this is a Super Bowl team. They almost got me at one point right after the Roquan trade. I was buying back in a little bit, but I was a prisoner of the moment, I suppose, in that sense. But hey, go fight like absolute tooth and claw. And you've got, you know, a fun little linebacker tandem, some big dogs up front. And Mark Andrews looks like himself again. They can go scrap and claw. So most likely circumstance is Ravens at Bengals. There could be Ravens at Jaguars or Titans. The fan fiction I subscribe to was Ravens Titans in a, you know, the early Saturday game. I think that would be just the most hilarious way to have a little nightcap of this season, to put those two in a slop fest that the Titans don't belong in. And the Ravens are like, what the fuck are we here for at the same time? So it's probably going to be one of those two, considering the circumstances and everything of the sort. So with that, we'll get fired up for that one. I am excited for playoff football. I will be excited for any football game that the Ravens play in January in the playoffs for their existence. And I hope to see Lamar Jackson back and hope to see them go give someone a bloody good fight.
Yep. Okay. So we'll look forward to that when it gets here. But in the meantime, I'm going to go week 18. I do have Anthony Brown starting this game because why the fuck not? And I'm going to go Bengals win it 28-13.
I don't even know. This is like, I don't even know. Let's
I don't even
go.
Know if the Bengals are going to play a ton of their starters either for a while. I think they'll start.
I'm
going to
say
guys.
The Bengals have like a pick six in this game, and the Bengals win 20-16. Actually, that doesn't feel right. I'm going to go 25-12 Bengals.
Well, that's got to be a score, Gami, but, yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with that. And then I guess after this game, maybe we'll gear back up for some more like real football talk. You know, this is a weird week that with all that happened and, you know, how that affected this game. It made things even weirder. So, yeah, not a whole lot to analyze on this one. But there you have it. We're going to go ahead and get out of here on you. Thank you guys for listening. As always, you can find the show on Twitter at Podcast Beatdown. I am at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE. Spencer is at Ravens for Dummies. That's the number four in the middle there. Appreciate it, guys. We'll be back on Sunday with our regular recap of a game that is just sure to fucking titillate. It's just going to be amazing. Can't wait for it. And then, yeah, like I said, from there, we'll have some more real football talk for you. But in the meantime, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Arrivederci.
Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age?